Good morning. Welcome to Oscar Chat. My name is Sasha Stone. I am the founder and main content contributor and writer and editor of awardsdaily.com.
Hi, guys. It's me. I'm trying something out for the first time ever. It's called the Morning Oscar Chat, and it's just a little rundown for you of what I think about in the mornings when I walk my dogs. I would have done this while I was walking my dogs. In fact, I did. I recorded a whole 17-minute podcast, which I found out didn't work because my headphones weren't working. So I'm here in my kitchen, and I'm about to make coffee and then sit down to work. But I wanted to try to recreate what I talked about. And what I'm going to try to do is record for you a memo. You're hearing me making coffee right now. Just bear with me while we do kitchen sounds. I'm going to try to make these every morning because I do tend to do my best thinking in the morning. And I often have an entire essay written in my head before I get home. And then I have to then sit down and try to recreate it, which, you know, only works some of the time. And, you know, a lot of times people don't really want to sit there and read a long piece. I tend to write very long essays, and they're very dense, and people really just want to skim and get the gist of what I'm trying to tell them, right? So today's rumination was on Dunkirk, the movie Dunkirk, and why I think it has a pretty good chance, surprisingly, of winning Best Picture. And that's due to a preliminary poll that I ran on Facebook. And you know I do these, anybody who knows my site knows that for the last 2 years, I've been running these pretty successful polls on Facebook. And what I like about them is that they are a good cross-section of people. You know, it's not just sort of our Oscar bubble. It's people I've known in high school, you know, people that I knew in a cinema group like 20 years ago when I first got online, and, you know, various people from various parts of the world and the country and my life. People that I, you know, a lot of people that I know from politics, from the election, who started to follow me because of my crazy rantings about the election. So you get a nice cross-section on Facebook, but the problem is right now it's still a little bit early for that because this is a really strange year. The reason it's a strange year is that we're, you know, because of the Olympics, the Oscars have been delayed slightly. And, you know, in the Oscar run-up to the Oscars, the dates matter a lot, you know, because the sooner the dates, the less time you have to really think about a movie, the closer the consensus is, meaning one movie can win everything, because there's not a lot of time to sit around and ruminate. You know, back in the day, the early days, when I first started covering the Oscars, Gladiator was the first movie that was up for an Oscar that year. And there was enough time between, you know, the Oscar nominations and then the final voting for people to consider whether or not they liked the front runner, right? And that turned out to be a really weird year because that was the year that Steven Soderbergh won Best Director, like out of the blue, for having directed two movies. You know, Academy voters kind of passed around the information that he was you know, he had made these two movies, and how come people weren't voting for him? Why wasn't he winning anything? And they somehow found it, they coalesced their consensus around Traffic. And that's how Steven Soderbergh did not cancel himself out and won Best Director for a year when he had directed two movies so successfully and everybody was so impressed with him. But it was hard because, you know, there were those two movies, and so he had a hard time winning anything. So anyway, the basic idea is that there was time for people to talk about it, you know? time for opinions to change. And back then you could have things happen like Shakespeare in Love beating Saving Private Ryan. And, you know, that was before they changed the date to February. And once they did that, everything changed. The consensus tightened and it became much easier to predict Best Picture. Until they then changed things again, which was when they implemented the expanded preferential ballot in 2009. And once they did that, you are at the mercy of the preferential ballot. And that's where we find ourselves today. However, something interesting happened with my poll, which was that I was surprised. It was a preliminary poll, so it wasn't my usual cross-section. I'm going to do one later, you know, as we get closer to the Oscars, which I think will be more reliable. I think this is not kind of the cross section I was looking for because it takes people a while to see all the movies, you know. A lot of them don't live in places where the movies play. A lot of them don't like to go to the theaters. A lot of them don't get screeners. So if they haven't seen the movies, they're not going to be able to vote on them, right? So the people that you get are the people that tend to race out and see the movies, right? Or the ones that have screeners or go to screenings or live in a big city. And that's helpful, but it's not the cross-section we're looking for, right? So we're looking for, you know, people from all walks of life that unite around one movie. And that's not easy to find. But Facebook I've found to be reliable in the last 2 years. Spotlight won my poll. I didn't go with Spotlight because I was stupid. I should have. And then Moonlight won my poll. And they turned out to be right. But we don't know if that's going to be the case this year. The key thing to remember is what Chris Tapley said on Twitter, which is that, and he's right, is that this is a stat-busting year, meaning some stat's going to go down. Usually there's one movie that has all the stats heading into the race, or two movies, or they're missing one or two. But this year, there are some major stats missing from what appear to be the front runners, okay? So with that information, we'll talk about Dunkirk, which is that Dunkirk did surprisingly well in the poll. I was really surprised. Obviously not an accurate poll, but Call Me By Your Name won the poll. Like, it won in the first round. It picked up votes all through. It was ranked really high on people's ballots. It was always pushed ahead of everything else. If given the choice, it really had a strong showing on my poll, which isn't surprising because every poll on the internet right now will give you that same result. You know, Call Me By Your Name is very favored by people on the internet. I don't know if that popularity extends to the industry. So far, we haven't seen evidence of that. You know, only one SAG nomination for actor and no Armie Hammer in the nominations, no directing nominations, no DGA nomination, and it didn't win the Globe. So that's surprising. It should have something. You know, if it was as popular as my poll showed, we would have seen something that would indicate, other than the Gotham win, that would indicate that it's a popular movie. So. But nonetheless, we got to take Call Me By Your Name and look at that result and say, okay, I'm putting this over here for a minute. I got to look at that. I'm not going to totally ignore it. But I also know that it doesn't have a DGA nomination. And that means it breaks the Driving Miss Daisy stat. But Argo already broke that stat in 2012. But it didn't break the DGA stat because he had the DGA. But it still broke the Driving Miss Daisy stat because that's also the same year that the last time before Argo that a film without a directing nomination won Best Picture. So for three billboards to win, it has to break the Driving Miss Daisy stat. Oh, no. For three billboards to win, it has to break the Argo stat, which is only broken 2012. So that's possible. For Call Me By Your Name to break it, it has to break the Driving Miss Daisy stat. So that's all the way back to 1980. And it also doesn't have an editing nomination, and it has a lot of stat problems, Call Me By Your Name. But it still did really, really well in my poll. So I have to set that aside for a minute and look at the rest of the films. Well, surprisingly, it shouldn't be that surprising considering what we know about people and what we know about politics, which is that men are the universal default, right? A movie starring a woman is by its nature divisive, just like a candidate who's a woman is by her nature divisive. So that showed me that the films that did well were films that starred men, even in a year with all these movies that star women. So that's Call Me By Your Name, Get Out, and Dunkirk were the three top vote-getters. Makes me sad, but it's a reality to deal with because, like I say, films with women are by their very nature divisive, and probably why no film starring a woman nominated for Best Actress or even won Best Actress since 2004 has won Best Picture. Million Dollar Baby was the last. And that's arguably starring a man, but she won Best Actress anyway. She could have won Best Supporting too. She could have been a supporting actress. She wasn't exactly a lead. Kind of, but you know, it could have been done either way, I suppose. Same with Jennifer Lawrence and Silver Linings Playbook. Nah, I guess she was a lead. Anyway, so the bottom line is, the thing that surprised me about the poll was that, backing up what I know about human nature. I don't know if that's how it's going to turn out later, but how well Dunkirk did. Dunkirk is not divisive. It's just, I thought it was, but it's not. It hit people's number one. It was a number two. It was a number three. It was really a top of the ballot movie where I assumed it wouldn't be. And the movie starring women, like Lady Bird, Three Billboards, Shape of Water, those movies didn't do as well. Lady Bird was knocked out early, so it was Three Billboards. And so, I mean, you know, not as early as Phantom Thread, which also stars a woman. But it still was interesting to see how that went down. So the thing about Dunkirk is that I think that the time between nominations and the votes, final votes going out, final ballots going out and the final votes coming in, is that, and just by the way, my last recording of this was 100 times better than this. This is very low energy, lackluster. My other one was full of like dog barking and, you know, it was much more interesting, street noise. But we'll just go with this one as our preliminary debut episode of Morning Oscar Chat. All right, so Dunkirk is the kind of movie that you hear people say things like, I can't believe Dunkirk isn't winning anything. Like, that's such an amazing movie. And so little bit by little bit, word of mouth, people are starting to recognize that we're about to head into another year where a smaller quote-unquote movie beats a massive epic, right? But Dunkirk isn't like The Revenant. It isn't like even Mad Max or Gravity or any of these movies. It's a very patriotic film about a time when, really when, it was a matter of Hitler taking over the world or not. I mean, that's how important it was. The British soldiers, the French soldiers, and I think Belgian soldiers had you know, lost the Battle of Dunkirk, which was really brutal. The Nazis had them at all sides. It was a complete massacre. Like, they didn't even have a chance. So they were 300,000 to 400,000 of them were crowded on this beach in Dunkirk, and the Nazis were surrounding them. And for whatever reason, there was some hiccup in Hitler's plan. I mean, he was on drugs, so who knows what was going on in his head. But they had enough time, were given enough time. Maybe they underestimated the British people and what they would do. They knew that the British army was weak, and in fact, they couldn't get the British army to rescue the men. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the money. They didn't want to do it. They felt like these guys are just going to have to take a hit. Well, everybody on the British side, especially Winston Churchill, knew that if they did that, the war was lost. So they needed the men. They wanted to save the men. They could not leave them stranded. They could not accept defeat. So cut over to Darkest Hour, and you watch what went through Churchill's mind and how he had to turn around his very kind of cautious government into believing that fighting Hitler was the right thing to do rather than appeasement. And, you know, everybody knows that famous story. It's done beautifully in Darkest Hour. Churchill basically had to, like, bluff his way through that. But he was one of the few people who knew how dangerous Hitler was, and he knew that he had to be fought, and he had to be resisted, and you couldn't make a deal with him. You couldn't go, oh, so let's sign on the dotted line, you guys do this, and we'll do that. Couldn't be that. It had to be do or die. This is it. Save the world or not. And of course, he gave his great speech, but really, the story of Dunkirk is the much more moving event of that time. The speech, Churchill saved the world. But what the British people did in sending out their little rickety boats to go save all those men is just an astonishing story. And it's been told in other movies, Their Finest and Atonement. But Nolan really, really takes you into the beaches of Dunkirk. And it's an incredibly moving story, especially the Mark Rylance storyline and the Tom Hardy. I mean, that is the kind of classic epic that used to win Best Picture without question, right? Without the preferential ballot, I mean, it's probably going to be down to Shape of Water versus Dunkirk. With the preferential ballot, people start to think, well, I don't know. You know, it's a Spotlight won Best Picture with only two Oscars. Little tiny Spotlight, little tiny Moonlight, you know. But it also might be the industry saying, you know what, fuck that. It's time to get back to, you know, the Oscars being about the big epic like they always used to be. So I only say that because of the way my poll turned out. I normally would not be even considering Dunkirk because of its lack of acting and writing nominations, you know, which is a strike against it. It's lack of SAG Ensemble nomination. It could have gotten that if they really love the movie. So it has strikes against it. But I tell you this about Dunkirk. It's not divisive. And men and women both love it. So I think it's a threat. I think it's a formidable threat. I think that if the ballots were turned in today, there's no chance it would win. But they don't even go out until the 20th, right? So people have time to change their minds and build a consensus around a different movie. Will they? I don't know. But I'll just say this. I was surprised by how those preliminary results turned out. I am now running a poll with just 5 movies. And so we'll see from that how it... I'm taking out Call Me By Your Name because it's distracting because so many people like it of the people that I polled. And, you know, it tends to win every online poll. That's the way it is. But so I'm curious to see what happens if you take out Call Me By Your Name and what that does to the results. And I'll get back to you on that on our next morning chat. Have a good morning. Bye-bye. Drinking my coffee now. It's getting cold. Okay, bye.
Hello, stranger. It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
It seems like a mighty long time. Chuba, chuba, my baby. Ooh.
It seems like a mighty long time.